A while ago we talked to the people responsible for Finders International as they were setting up their Dublin office. We were talking to Daniel Curran, who is their MD. And what they do is, it's pretty much what the name suggests. If there is somebody who needs tracing, they get after it. And one of the most common reasons they would go tracing people is for probate. If there is an estate, if there is a will, and they discover, well, okay, certain things have been willed to certain people and we don't immediately know where they are, they will go and hunt them down. And every now and then they have really challenging ones to hunt down, because there are people who die intestate and the estate effectively just sits on a register. In fact, as I understand it, the UK has a specific register for wills or for estates that have gone unclaimed. But this is Padraig Brennan from Finders. Padraig, there is a UK sort of database of unclaimed estates.
There is. The Treasury solicitor in the UK release on a daily basis a list of estates that effectively go unclaimed. So it's called the Bona Vacantia listing. It's released via their website every day, and on there you'll find hundreds and hundreds of cases where people have passed away intestate and left their estate unclaimed.
All of them small estates or some of them big estates?
All we know is that the value is over £500. You do not find out the value until you submit a claim on behalf of the family, and it's only then that you realise the value of the claim.
And do you get many people who would be going through that list and saying, hang on a minute, I might be able to find a link to that person?
You would. There would be firms like ourselves, many firms in the UK, who would effectively compete against each other to find heirs for these estates. You'd see it on, as per the TV show, the BBC's Air Hunters. You'll see that these firms compete. So, yeah, it's big business in the UK.
I assume, though, it must be a bit like a corporate lottery, because if you discover that what's left is 503 quid, it doesn't pay all the effort you'd put in to find the people.
It can be a shot in the dark sometimes, but that's the risk we take. We take all the risk on ourselves and do all the research in the hope that at the end of the day there is quite a substantial estate there and that we'll get paid. But there have been occasions where we've come across small estates. You know, in a circumstance like that, we wouldn't look to get paid. It's just the luck of the draw for us, really.
And for the people on the receiving end, then, somebody is sitting in their house and they get a call from you saying, listen, there's a possibility you might be related to this person and we might have a few quid for you.
That's it. It's literally as simple as that. It's a knock on the door. We would call out and effectively sign them up. We have an agreement that it's a legal contract. We sign them up and we would agree with them a fee for ourselves, a commission agreement with them. But yeah, as you say, it's as simple as that, getting a knock on the door at any time.
And I assume the ideal one, well, it probably doesn't matter from your perspective. It doesn't matter if there's 12 claimants or only one claimant. Your slice will be the same. It's just they'll get diluted if there's a lot of them.
Well, generally what we do, our fee is negotiable with the heirs. We would sign an agreement with the heirs individually. So it doesn't come off the estate. It comes off the net settlement that each heir is due to entitle. So whether there's one heir or 10 heirs, some will already be known. But the ones that we find, we sign an agreement with them.
It puts you in a good negotiating position if you're able to open with, I know where there's a load of money for you and you don't know. Would you like to strike a deal?
It does. But some people think they can go off and do it themselves. So we do come across that as well. Some people say, look, thanks for the tip off. I'm going to go about this myself. So you come across that as well. But generally speaking, people are very appreciative that we found them and they're due an inheritance.
So I would assume as well there must be a significant chunk of the people who would be on that will who would be of Irish descent. Because if you go to Kilburn or Liverpool or Manchester, there's so much of an Irish community who would have been there from the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s.
Absolutely. We have our own website. We've put a website together called unclaimedestates.ie, and on there are almost 600 cases of people who are of Irish origin, have passed away in the UK, and they've left estates behind them. So we'd encourage your listeners to go on there to unclaimedestates.ie. There's a search engine on there. You can put your name in and you can have a look to see if any of your distant relatives who may have moved to the UK are on there.
And how do you know they're Irish? Is that listed in the UK one, or do you have to do a search based on names?
Well, their details, their place of births would be detailed on the list. In fact, coming in this morning, I entered your own name in Savage just to see if there were any Savages out there that passed away. And would you believe there is one Savage on the listing, a lady called Ellen Savage, who was born in Kilmallock in Limerick on the 20th of February 1894. That date's wrong. She died in Surrey on the 11th of April 1994. So she was born in Limerick. She's a Savage, so she might be some distant relative of yours.
And if so, there is a possibility that I could register a claim on whatever she has left
absolutely
in her will.
Absolutely. So it just goes to show these estates are out there waiting to be claimed. So, I mean, we'd encourage your listeners to go on there and see.
Take that case in point. Let's say that I say, okay, I can find that I am a fourth cousin of her by 19 yeah. times removed, and we register a claim. Is there a chance that it ends up like the Howard Hughes will? Does a load of savages in Limerick say, hang on a minute, we're going to throw a claim in too?
Yeah, well, yeah, we would have to basically put all the pieces together, go back to put a family tree together effectively, and there might be 100 heirs that would be due to inherit. It just depends on the intestacy laws of each state. So the intestacy laws in Ireland are quite generous, so you can go way back into the family tree. So again, it would depend on the size of the family and the amount of children, etc. involved.
And the one that you've set up is for Irish people in the UK. Is there a national Irish equivalent for people who die intestate?
No, there's no listing here, no.
So, but that means that there are a ton of people who over the years have died and left no will, and reverts to the state, does it?
Absolutely, reverts to the state after 15 years. Now, there is no listing here. There is no equivalent to the Bona Vacantia list in the UK. It just doesn't exist here. So what happens is the state effectively inherit the estates after a period of 15 years if they can't be proved. Now and then...
It'd be interesting to find out how much the state makes from that, wouldn't it?
Well, this is an issue now that we're... It's a bone of contention for us, really, because we feel that the state really don't do enough to find out who the next of kin are. We've approached certain offices in the state, and it's something we're trying to develop as part of our own business. We feel that we can return these estates to the rightful heirs.
I hate to sound cynical, but the state is quite incentivized not to facilitate that those estates go to somebody other than themselves.
I would agree. They certainly don't make the effort that is made in the UK.
You have one in particular that is rarely for ye, but that is at the point of stumping you. This is one that you've looked into. The estate is it Mary Hilton? Is that correct?
Yes, that's the lady's name. Now, this came to light again via the Treasury solicitor listing in the UK. A gentleman called Michael P. O'Hanlon passed away in Southampton in England in 2008. So we were working away in this case, but I suppose we reached a dead end. But recently something came to light that I'll go through. So basically this guy's mother's name was Phyllis Veronica Hilton. She was born in Dublin in 1924 and she lived in the Mountjoy Square area. So she had three children, Marie, born in 1943, Michael, born in 1945, and Phyllis, born in 1948. Now, she gave the three children up for adoption or fostering, and none of these kids knew of each other's existence while growing up, which is quite sad. So two of the siblings have passed away, Michael and Phyllis, and we're now looking for Marie, as she is due to inherit Michael's estate.
But Marie may not know of the existence of Phyllis or Michael even to this day.
No, well, she didn't growing up, but she did. It did come to light. Phyllis Jr.'s husband has told us that later on in life they met in Drogheda approximately 10 years ago, maybe 10 or 12 years ago. They met in Drogheda. We have reason to believe that Mary or Marie is living either in the Drogheda or Dundalk areas, surrounding areas. Now, we don't know if she's still alive. We don't know if she goes under the name Marie Hilton. She could have taken her adoptive surname. She might have married. Now, we can't find a marriage certificate for her, so we don't think she's married, but she could be going under another name. So either a friend...
Oh, and is that how you trace? You'll follow maiden name and then look for, okay, now we jump across to the certificate to the married name.
That's exactly. We piece the certificates together, birth certificates, marriage certificates, death certificates, because you have different family members named on them.
But where the trail currently runs cold is with birth certificate. There's nothing after that to see death or marriage or anything.
There's actually no birth certificate for Marie here. Yeah, we don't have a birth certificate for her. We can't find a marriage certificate. So we don't know if she's going under the name Marie Hilton. We don't even know if her original, if she knew her name was Marie Hilton. We think she does, though, because she met her sister.
Which must be, one assumes, relatively common with children who would have been adopted or fostered in the 40s.
I'd imagine. Wouldn't have the certificate. I'd imagine so, yeah.
So what you need is, you're looking for anybody who knows Marie Hilton or somebody who answers the description you describe with the first name Mary or Marie, possibly living in the Drogheda and Dundalk area. And the reason you're looking for her is that either she, or if she is no longer with us, her descendants are due an inheritance of above €500, but who knows?
Yeah, we think it's substantial, but yes, that's exactly it. So if any of your listeners have any indication or any ideas where this lady might be or know of her whereabouts, we'd urge them to get in touch with us via our website. It's findersinternational.ie, or our phone number is 01691725.
So that's 691-7252 or findersinternational.ie if you have any info in relation. And I assume likewise, if people go on your own, you said the website that you had set up.
Unclaimedestates.ie.
If they discover someone that they think, I might know that person, get on to you.
Absolutely, and we'll certainly have a look at the claim for them.
And you and I can talk about your woman savage across the way later on.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Brilliant. Thanks, Padraig. That is Padraig Brennan of Finders International. 53102, AntonatTodayFM.com or at Anton Savage Show on Twitter.